and the lights are okay as well. All right, so first of all, I'd like to thank very much the organizer for asking me to talk, and also the Fields Institute for the opportunity to visit here for some time. So I'd like to start with a brief overview of the problem of modeling homotopy type, and part of this overlaps with a much more broader description that John just gave us. So one of the motivations is to find a completely algebraic description of the homotopy type of a topological space. And as John already mentioned, it was Grothendieck who, in his famous letter to Quillen, first addressed the issue of finding a higher-order version of the fundamental group in homotopy theory. And there have been somehow two parallel developments towards this goal, one taking place in homotopy theory, one in higher category theory. In homotopy theory, various models have been developed. The Cartan group model is for connected n plus 1 types, was developed by Laudet and others. There's another thing called hypercross complexes due to Carrasco and Cigarra. And in higher category theory, as Baez mentioned already, homotopy types serve as a sort of test for what should be a good definition of higher category, because in the weakened groupoid case, this should give a model of n types. Now, for some of these models, like the Tanfamani-Battani model, some versions of the homotopy hypothesis have been verified. I will talk today extensively about the Tanfamani's model, and Eugenia this afternoon will tell us about the Battani's model. Now, in a general weakened groupoid, we know that the associativity and identity laws hold not strictly, but up to coherent isomorphism. However, in low dimension, we also know that not all these isomorphisms are needed to model homotopy types. So in dimension 2, strict two groupoids model two types, and in dimension 3, gray groupoids model three types. And gray groupoids are a sort of semi-strict free groupoid, as was already partly mentioned in Steve Mark's talk. So these low-dimensional results led several people to conjecture that not only in a suitable model of weakened categories, the weakened groupoid should give us a model of n types, but also that every weakened groupoid should be in a suitable form equivalent to a semi-strict one. So far, however, as far as I know, this hypothesis in the literature has never been verified in dimension higher than 3. So the main result I would like to illustrate today is a semi-stratification result valid for any n relative to Tanfamani's model of weakened groupoid and for the path-connected case. So I will try to explain that if you have a Tanfamani weak n groupoid whose classifying space is a connected n type, this is in a suitable way equivalent to a semi-strict one. This equivalence is on a kind of homotopical level. It's a zigzag of some types of categorical equivalences. But this is a version of the homotopy hypothesis. And the interesting thing, I believe, is that it is valid for any dimension n. Now, this result will be the consequence of a comparison between two models of n types, the CAP n-1 groups, which come from the world of homotopy theory, and the Tanfamani's weakened groupoids. So now, I'd like to recall some background notions and terminology, fairly basic at this level. Suppose that C is a category with finite limits, then we can construct the category of internal categories in C, whose objects are diagrams like these. These are diagrams in C, and these maps satisfy the usual axioms of a category. So we can think of D0 and D1 as source and target maps, I the identity map, C the composition. An internal functor will be a map of diagrams like this, which commutes in the obvious way. So we have a category CatC of internal categories and internal functors. There is also an embedding of CatC in simplicial objects in C through the NURB functor, which is formally analogous to the NURB of a small category. And now, if we have a simplicial object in C, we can consider the following commutative diagrams where the maps are indicated, and we can consider the limit of the bottom part of this diagram, this one here. And by definition of limit, there is a unique map from phi n to this limit. So these maps for any n are called Segal maps. And they are very important because they can be used to characterize nerves of internal categories. Namely, a simplicial object in C is in the image of that nerve functor precisely when all the Segal maps are isomorphic. So internal categories are all we need to define the category of Katrin groups. So the idea is to start with a category of groups and to iterate n times the construction of internal categories. So Katrin groups inductively are internal categories in Kat n minus 1 groups. We can also iterate n times the nerve construction. And this leads to an embedding of Katrin groups in n simplicial groups. This functor is called the multinerve. And the multinerve is very important because it allows us to think about these structures as multi-simplicial structures. So from the previous discussion there on the Segal maps, a completely equivalent way to think about and to define Katrin groups would be, well, for n equals 1, we have a simplicial group such that the Segal maps are isomorphic. And if we suppose we have Kat n minus 1 groups as a full subcategory of n minus 1 simplicial groups, then a Katrin group will be an n simplicial group, which is really a simplicial object in Kat n minus 1 groups, and the Segal maps are isomorphic. There is no additional content in what I'm saying here, but we're going to think about Katrin groups in this way when we're going to compare them with the Tantzamanis model, which, as we're going to see, is also a multi-simplicial model. Another reason why the multinerve is useful is in order to define the classifying space of a Katrin group. And this can be obtained by the following composition of functors. We compose the multinerve with the diagonal from n simplicial groups to simplicial groups, with the W-bar functor from simplicial groups to reduced simplicial sets. This is the right adjoint to the CAN loop group functor. And then we take the geometric realization. Now, it turns out that the classifying space of a Katrin group is a connected n plus 1 type. And if we have a morphism of Katrin groups, we say that this is a weak equivalence if it induces a weak homotopy equivalence of classifying spaces. So when we say in homotopy theory, Katrin groups are a model of connected n plus 1 types, the precise statement is the following. There is an equivalence of categories between the localization of Katrin groups with respect to the weak equivalences and the homotopy category of connected n plus 1 types. Yes? Oh, really? Sure. This level is okay? You might have to remind me again, but I'll try to remember. Okay. Now, this theorem for n equals 1 goes back to MacLean and Whitehead, who formulated it with the language of cross-modulusing groups. Cross-modulusing groups are equivalent to internal categories in groups. The first proof for general n is due to Laudet, who used the category equivalent to what we have defined here as Katrin groups. Subsequent alternative proofs appeared, one by Boulayev-Sigara-Duskin, which uses the same category that we have, that we are using here, and another one by Porter, which uses yet another characterization of Katrin groups in terms of something which is called cross NQs. So now I need to tell you about Tantzamanis model. And this is much harder to define than the Katrin group model. So for this reason, I'd like to start with a simpler case, which is the strict case. So I'm going to describe in this slide how to view a strict n category in Tantzamanis model. So I remind you that strict and categories can be defined inductively with a process of successive enrichment, starting from cat, and then inductively a strict n category is a category enriched in strict n minus 1 categories, where the enrichment is with respect to the Cartesian monoidal structure. Now here is a general fact about which I don't intend to go into too many technical details, but there are a certain class of categories for which we can think of enrichment as a special type of internalization. There's a certain hypothesis C has to have commuting coproducts plus some mild additional conditions. Then a category enriched in C is essentially the same as an internal category in C in which the object of object is discrete. That means it is a coproduct of copies of the terminal object. And then from the previous discussion on the Segal maps, in turn, this corresponds to simplicial object in C, in which the Segal maps are isomorphic, and the object at level 0 is discrete. So in particular, we can apply this to the case where C is the category of strict n minus 1 categories. So we find in this way that for n equals 1, well, we know a category can be described as a simplicial set in which the Segal maps are isomorphic. And if we have defined strict n minus 1 categories, a strict n category will be a simplicial object in strict n minus 1 categories in which the Segal maps are isomorphic, and at level 0 we have a discrete thing. And if you unravel this inductive definition, we obviously find an embedding of strict n category in n simplicial sets. And this is how you view a strict n category in Tamsamani's model. Notice that if we think of a strict n category in this way, so here I'm thinking of strict n categories as embedded in n simplicial set, and we consider these functors are constant, so I call discrete in a sense they are discrete objects. So this is called globularity condition, and indeed, this set is the set of zero cells, this is the set of K cells. And this is a very important condition, which is going to hold in the general case as well, and we're going to talk about this a lot when comparing with the Kapteyn group model. So in order to define strict n groupoid, I need to tell you about a functor from strict n category to cat, which can be defined inductively starting from n equals 1, in which case it is simply the functor that takes a category to the set of isomorphic classes of its object. And then you define it inductively. So a strict n groupoid, in the Tamsamani view, can be defined inductively starting from groupoids and saying, if we have a strict n category, this is a strict n groupoid. If it is not only a simplicial object in strict n minus 1 categories, it is in fact a simplicial object in strict n minus 1 groupoids. And when you apply this functor tau 1 n, the category you obtain is in fact a groupoid. This is what encodes all the invertibility of your cells in positive dimension. Yeah. Oh yes, I'm sorry, I wrote this and I didn't. It's induced by tau zero. So this is a simplicial object in cat n minus in strict n minus one categories. You have a functor tau zero from strict n minus one category to cat. You apply it level wise. Okay. The functor applied level wise, I mean it's induced and I put a bar there, and that's how you define tau one n. And you can check that in doing this, you still have something landing in cat. That's because of the globularity condition and the Segal maps being isomorphic. Yes. So, for example, if you have a strict two category as a simplicial object in cat, in which you have a discrete and a level 0 and Segal maps are isomorphic, what you do, you take tau 0, 1, and you apply it level-wise. And this defines tau 1, 2. And then you take isomorphic classes of that category that you obtain, and that will be tau 0, 2. And then if you have a strict free category, you apply tau 0 2 level wise and so on. So formally, this is the definition. Okay. Sorry? Yeah, I mean, this is the condition which takes care of the invertibility of the horizontal composition, essentially. You have to, I mean, if you think of n equals 2, for example, you can see that. So far, so good for the strict case. What about the general case? So, in this case, stick to that one for a moment. So the single knots are the things that encode the composition of your high-dimensional cell. So the idea of the Tanzanianic model is that we want to weaken the associativity of the composition and the unit laws by requiring the single knots to be no longer isomorphic, but some suitably defined equivalences. So I'd like to give the inductive definition, which is a bit technical, but for what I'm going to say, it's important that people at least see it once to see how it looks like, even if perhaps not all the details will be understood. And I'm following Tanzanani, but really in this exposition, I'm following a very elegant exposition that Bertrand Toen gave at the last N-category conference in Minnesota in 2004. So let's start with N equals 1, where everything is easy. So we have cat. One equivalences are equivalences of categories. And we're going to need these functors. Tau 1, 0 is the one that I defined earlier. Delta 1 associates to a set the discrete category on that set of objects. Tau 1, 1 is the identity. And we can notice, trivially in this case, that there are a certain number of axioms which are satisfied. The reason why I want to have them here is that we're going to need formally the same axioms in the inductive step. So delta 1 is fully faithful, father and product preserving. We have that equality. Tau 0, 1 sends one equivalences to bijections, preserves father products over discrete objects. And if we have a functor between categories C and D is discrete, then C is isomorphic to the coproduct of full subcategory CX, where CX is the full subcategory of C, which is sent, whose objects are sent to X by this functor. So now let's see how the inductive step works. So we suppose that we have defined weak n-1 categories, Wn-1, and n-1 equivalences, weak n-1 equivalences. And we also suppose to have defined functors tau 0 n-1 and delta n-1, which satisfy axioms which are formally the same as these, except that instead of 1 here, you have n-1. So then we define a weakened category to be a simplicial object in Wn-1, which is discrete at level 0. Discrete means it's something in the image of this delta n-1. And the single knots are now n-1 equivalences, which we know what it means by induction. Notice that if in all this we asked the single knots to be strict, we would be reproducing exactly the definition of strict in category that we saw in the previous slide. But also notice that the induction step is not complete until we say what is an n equivalence. And we also need to define tau 0 n delta n satisfying the same axioms. So in order to do this, we notice that there was a Peter's question earlier. So we have a functor here, tau 0 n-1, from Wn-1 to set. This induces a functor between simplicial objects in here and simplicial set. You just apply this thing level-wise. And by these axioms, you can see that this functor restricts to a functor from Wn to cat. Also by these axioms, especially precisely the fourth one, you see that phi 1 is isomorphic to the coproduct of n-1 categories, which I denote phi xy, for every pair of zero cells, x and y. And this can be thought of as home n minus 1 categories between objects x and y. So for example, for n equals 2, phi xy represents the category whose objects are the one cells between the one arrows between objects the x and y, and whose morphies are the two cells between these. So now we define a morphism Wn to be an n equivalence if it induces an n minus 1 equivalence of the home categories. I should have written for all x and y in phi 0, but there was no space in the slide. And when you apply the functor tau on n, you find an equivalence of categories. Then inductively, we define tau 0 n in this way. You can also define delta n, although I didn't do it in the slide. And you can see that the axioms above are satisfied. And this completes the inductive step. So as I said, it's not important that people follow really all the details, but at least that you get a feeling for the structure. It is, notice that this is a multi-simplicial structure because you can unravel this inductive definition. So you will get an embedding of Wn in n simplicial sets. You have the globularity condition coming from this discreteness here. So if you think about the, it's not there anymore, but all these faces of your multi-simplicial structure, exactly as in the strict case, are constant functor or discrete things. But the Segal maps are no longer isomorphic. They are higher dimensional equivalences. So let's come now to the higher group weight case. Perhaps I keep forgetting to bring this up, right? You have to remind me. Sorry. So now the definition of weak in group weight is not hard because inductively you start from group weight, and if you suppose inductively that we have defined weak n minus 1 group weight as a full subcategory of Wn minus 1, then for a weak n group weight, you need to require that each of the home n minus 1 categories is in fact a weak n minus 1 groupoid, and that when you apply this functor tau on n, which was going from Wn to cat, in fact you find not only a category but a groupoid. I want to notice a slightly technical point. To require this is equivalent to saying that this is a simplicial object in tau n minus 1, and this condition is satisfied. You can formulate it in terms of the home n minus 1 categories, or in the other way. So we are doing exactly the same thing that we're doing in a strict case for, you know, the getting the group weight case from the category case. So Tansamani showed that we can group weight model n types. So this is his version of the holotropy hypothesis, which is obviously a weaker version with respect to what one dreams about. But so there is an equivalence of categories between the localization of tau n with respect to the n equivalences and the homotopy category of n types. So at this stage, I would like to give a brief summary of the main structures we've been talking about so far. So on the right-hand side, I have concisely rewritten the definition of cutting groups. We want to view this as n simplicial groups, which are really simplicial objects in cat n minus 1 groups, and the Segal maps are isomorphic, if you think of these as simplicial objects in cat n minus 1 groups. And on the right-hand side is the definition of tau n plus 1. There's going to be a shift in dimension now. I'm not going to talk about cat n minus 1 and tau n, but cat n and tau n plus 1. So what I would like to do now is to try to compare them on a purely qualitative, intuitive basis. So we can say these two structures are somewhat similar because they are both multisimplicial. They are also both defined inductively on dimension, but there are some obvious differences. Cutting groups is a structure based in the category of groups, internal to groups. This is based in sets. In the definition of cutting groups, there is no apparent weakness. The Segal maps are strict. We don't see where the weakness is. Clearly, the Tansamani's model is a weak model because the Segal maps are those who encode the composition, and they are not isomorphic. And there is a finally an extremely important difference, which is this globularity condition that I've already mentioned various times. If you consider this, I mean, we saw that there are various faces of your multisimplicial structure in here, which are discrete objects. If you consider formally the same faces in this multisimplicial group, these do not have to be discrete at all. So we say this is a cubical and this is a globular structure. And this intuitively refers to the shape of the two cells, if you think about dimension two, for example. So cutting groups are a strict cubical structure internal to groups. Tanzanani model is a weak globular structure instead. So in comparing these two things, we have two main issues. One is, how can we go from a strict cubical structure to a weak globular one without throwing away too much homotopical information? In particular, we want the homotopy type to be preserved. And the second issue is, we have a group-based structure, we want a set-based one. So it turns out that the second point is relatively easy to deal with. We're going to take the nerve of the group, thinking of a group as a category with one object, because these things we live in and simplicial groups. But the first point is much harder, and it's going to take me some more time to tell you what to do about it. So before proceeding any further, I'd like to give an overview of the main ideas that I'm going to develop, and later I'll give more detail. I'll concentrate to some lower dimensional case, thinking, mention gray groupets and various things, draw pictures. So the idea is that we're going to build a somewhat intermediate model between the cutting group model and the Tanzanani model, which is something I call internal weakened groupoid. The precise definition will come later, but the idea is that internal weakened groupoids are weak globular structures but internal to groups. It's a sort of version of Tanzanani's model internal to the category of groups. And then we proceed in two steps. We will have a functor, which I call discretization, from cutting groups to internal weakened groupoids, which takes care of the first issue in there. That means it transforms a strict cubical structure into a weak globular one while preserving the homotopy type. But until now, we will still be inside the category of groups. So then we take a functor which will simply be induced by the nerve functor from groups to simplicial sets, which takes care of the second issue. And it can be proved, it's not trivial, but it's true, that the image of this functor lands in a full subcategory of Tanzanani weak n plus 1 groupoids whose objects are semi-strict. So this discretization functor, so its construction relies on a very important property of cutting groups, which is the fact that every cutting group is weakly equivalent to one which I call a special cutting group. Now, what is a special cutting group? The definition precisely will come later, but the idea is, well, think about the way we describe strict categories as multisimplicial sets. We have this globularity condition that made all of these faces in your multisimplicial structure to be discrete. Now, think about the internalized situation of strict and category internal to groups embedded in n full categories in groups, which is cutting groups. So you still have your globularity condition. Well, in a special cutting group, those faces, which in here would be discrete, they are no longer discrete, but they are weakly equivalent to discrete objects. And this weak equivalent happens in a sort of strong form. So it is something I call strongly contractible. So the fact that a cutting group is weakly equivalent to one of these special cutting groups is nothing else but the effect of a certain cofibril replacement in a model structure on cutting group. So the discretization functor will be the composition of this type of cofibril replacement with a functor Dn, which intuitively speaking has the effect of squeezing these contractible faces to discrete faces. And in doing so, the homotopy type is preserved, but the isomorphism of the Siegel maps is destroyed. So the Siegel maps are no longer isomorphic, but they are equivalences. So you obtain a weak globular structure still in groups. And then, as I said, the final step is to construct this functor Dn about which I'll have more to say later on. So now I would like to tell you a bit more precisely about this cofibrin replacement. But in order to do so, I need to say a bit more about some further properties of cutting groups. So cutting groups is an algebraic category. There is a forgetful functor from cutting groups to set, which is monadic. And this has various consequences. If we have a morphism cutting groups is a regular epimorphism, if and only if its image under UN is a regular epimorphism in set. So it is a subjection in set. So in particular, this implies that cutting groups has enough projectives with respect to the regular AP. And in fact, if you have a cutting group G, and you take the co-units of the adjunction between UN and its left adjoint, this object, FNUNG, is certainly projective with respect to the regular APs, and this map, this co-unit, is a regular AP. Now, the fact that cutting group is algebraic in itself is a fairly obvious thing, because from the definition, you can see quite easily that it is a variety of universal algebra. So, of course, it's monadic over set. But what is interesting is that you can write down precisely the expression for the left adjoint Fn. This is not something that comes from general theory. You have to make your hands dirty and do it for this particular example. And if you do so, you discover that Fnx is a cutting group which is of a very which has some very particular properties. It is something that I call a strongly contractible cutting group. So, roughly speaking, the idea is that a strongly contractible cutting group is a cutting group which is weakly equivalent to a discrete one. Discrete means the multinerve is a constant functor, through a map which has a section. And this same property holds for every smaller dimensional face that the cutting group is made of. So formally, you start for n equals 1. You say a cutting group is strongly contractible if there is a weak equivalence from G to a discrete cutting group GD, and this weak equivalence also has a section T. Then you suppose you have defined inductively strongly contractible cat N monosome groups, then a cat N group is strongly contractible if you have this property, is weakly equivalent to a discrete one through a map with a section. And then you remember that a cat N group is an internal category in cat N monosome groups in N possible ways. In the same way as n simplicial set is a simplicial object in n minus 1 simplicial sets in n possible ways. So you fix a direction k, and you denote by g0k, g1k, the object of objects and object of arrows of the corresponding internal category in cat n minus 1 groups in direction k. And you ask that these are strongly contractible cat n minus 1 groups. And you want this to be the case for all directions k from 1 to n. So the fact that this thing, Fnx, is strongly contractible becomes useful when used in conjunction with another structure on cutting groups. Yes?
If you regard a group as a special category, then the cutting group is a special...
That notion is...
...plus one category, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If that's forgetful function UN, then just...
The free group. So you're asking me about the case n equals 0 there?
No, I'm saying for arbitrary n,
yes.
Since you can regard a group as a special category, you can regard a cat n group as an n plus 1 tuple category.
In groups, that's exactly how we define it.
And then this forgetful functor, is that just taking the set of the top dimensional cells, the n plus 1 cells?
I think so, but I might want to think a little bit about it. Let me think. I mean, essentially, it's probably correct.
How do you think about
this? I actually think about it. I mean, there's various equivalent description of cutting groups. One is, for example, in terms of I mean, it's, you know, the day description, and then you take the I mean, you have a group with 2n cat 1 categorical structures acting independently one another. So you take this group and you just take the underlying set. Now, because they're all equivalent, you know, when you want to write that functor from that thing, you would have to take into consideration some of the some of these equivalences of categories to write it down precisely. But morally speaking, that's what it is. So I believe that actually is what you were saying. Yeah. So the mother structure on cutting groups that we're going to consider can be obtained as an application of some results of a paper of Everett, Keyboard, and Van den Linden. We title Internal Mother Structures on Internal Categories, published in TAC 2005. So in this paper, they have a mother structure on cat C, where C is a category satisfying some fairly mild hypotheses. And this mother structure is relative to a Grothendieck topology on C. In particular, they ask that C has enough projectives with respect to the tau AP, if tau is the Grothendieck topology. So we're going to apply this to the case where C is the category of cat and monosome groups, and the Grothendieck topology is the regular epimorphist topology. So we say over there that for any n, cutting groups has enough projectives with respect to the tau AP. So that's one of the main hypotheses, and all the others are satisfied. In fact, this is a semi-Abelian situation, for those of you who know what this means, and that paper tackles in general cat C, where C is semi-Abelian. So I'm not going to describe all the details of the model structure, but essentially what we're going to need. There is a notion of weak equivalence, which, again, I don't want to get into too many technical details. For those of you who know about cross modules, in a semi-Abelian situation, cat C is the same thing as cross modules in C. A weak equivalence is one that induces isomorphies of pi 1 and pi 0 and pi 1 of your cross modules. For those of you who don't understand what I said, it doesn't matter because in our case, whenever we need these things, it turns out to be a weak homotopy equivalence of classifying spaces of your cutting group, so we don't worry about it. Every object of this mother structure is fibrant, but what is crucial for us is the functorial cofibrant replacement. So this is how it works. You have an object of cat C, so a cutting group in our case, and we consider the following pullback in cat and monosome groups. So here, D0, D1 are the source and target maps. G1 is object of arrows, G0 object of object. And this is the co-unit of the adjunction between cat and monosome groups and set. Then, from the paper up there, there is a unique internal category structure, so a cutting group for us, CG, which has this one here as object of objects, and this one here as object of arrows. And there is a unique internal functor from CG to G, which is a trivial fibration, and CG is cofibrant. So this is how they construct a cofibrant replacement. It is clearly functorial from the universality of pullbacks. And further, from that definition of weak equivalence, you can see that actually it is a weak homotopy equivalence of classifying spaces. So notice that the net effect of taking a cofibrant replacement in this model structure is that the object of object becomes a strongly contractible cat and monosome group by that result over there. And this is the essential ingredient that we're going to need. So now I'd like to go in low dimension, n equals 2, which means for me connected three types, and start seeing how these ideas can lead to construct the discretization functor. So we need what is called, what I call special cat to groups. So a cat to group is an internal category in cat groups. We require that in one of the two directions, doesn't matter which one, the object of object is a strongly contractible cat one group. That means there is a weak equivalence from G0 to a discrete cat one group. G0D was discrete. I didn't rewrite it here, but it was in the previous slide. And this weak equivalence has a strong section. So now we consider the nerve of this G as internal category in cat group. This, in general, is a simple shell object in cat group. But what we're going to do, we want to discretize the object at level 0. So in the nerve, here you would have G0, and here you would have delta 0, delta 1, sigma 0. Instead, we take G0D and D delta 0, D delta 1, sigma 0T. And all the other maps are as in the nerve of G. Notice that the simplicial identities are still satisfied because of this relation T dt equals the identity. So this is a new simplicial object in cat group. But when we consider now the Siegel maps, which in the nerve were strict, were isomorphic, here the Siegel maps are no longer isomorphic, but they turn out to be weak homotopy equivalences. This construction is also functorial. So in conclusion, you get a functor which I call discrete multi-nerve from special cat groups to the category of internal weak to groupoid, which consists in simplicial objects in cat group, discrete at level 0, and such that the Siegel maps are weak equivalences. It is a sort of internal version of a Tanzamani weak to groupoid inside the category of groups. And the discretization functor is the composition of the cofibril replacement. Did I talk about this? I skipped something. I apologize. I was thinking ahead of myself. From the definition of from the previous result over there, if you have a special cat group and you take that cofibril replacement, you find precisely a special cat group. If you take any cat group, that gives you a special cat group. And the functoriality precisely gives you a functor from here to here. So then you do this discretization process from an object of special cat groups because you need to be able to discretize at level 0. Sorry about this. So the discretization is the composition of the cofibril replacement with this functor D2, whose effort is to squeeze your object at level 0 to a discrete one. And you can show, it takes some work, but you can show that this functor discrete multinerve preserves the homotopy type, and as we said before, the cofibril replacement preserves the homotopy type. So does the discretization functor. So now I'd like to state the semi-strictification result for n equals 2, so for connected three types. We consider a full subcategory of Tanzamani weak free groupoid in the following way. You think of G as simplicial object in Tanzamani weak 2 groupoid, as it always is. At level 0, we always have a constant functor. We ask that this functor takes values in the one element set. And then we ask that these Siegel maps are isomorphic. This gives clearly a semi-strict structure because G1 is in tau 2. It's not a strict thing. So we have strictified one direction of the Siegel map. And the next step after the discretization, as I said, is that we want a set-based structure from a group-based one. It's clear that the category D2 can be embedded in bisimplicial groups just by taking the nerve of the cat group at each dimension. And then we take the nerve of the group in each dimension, the nerve from groups to simplicial sets. A priori, this gives you just the three simplicial set, but with a bit of work, you can see that actually this lands in the subcategory H3. Notice that these two conditions are clear because we're just taking the nerve of the group. What requires more work is to see that actually G1 is in tau 2, but it can be proved. So the conclusion is that we have a functor from cat to groups to H3, which preserves the homotopy type and induces a functor between these localizations, making this diagram commute. Now, from this commutativity, if you use, on the one hand, the fundamental cat to group functor of a topological space of, for example, the paper of Buleo Sigaradaski, and the fundamental weak free group of functor of Tanzamani, you can deduce from there the following fact, that if you have a Tanzamani weak free groupoid, which represent a connected free type, you can always find a zigzag of three equivalences inside here, which connects it to an object of H3, which is a semi-strictification result. This equivalence is of a homotopical type. It's a zigzag of three equivalences. I realized it would be nicer to have a categorical equivalence. That's not what I have at the moment, but it is still a significant result, and it relates to a model for which strictification was not, semi-strictification had not been investigated so far. And further, we're going to see that there is a complete analog of this result for any n. But before going in higher dimension, I'd like to mention great groupoids, because I think I was asked to do that. So, as Steve reminded us yesterday, gray is the category of two categories with a gray tensor product, and a gray groupoid is a gray enriched category with invertible cells. So we want to relate our semi-strict category H3 with gray groupoid. And one way to do this is as follows. So this theorem says that up to some entropy, we can associate directly to an object of H3 a gray groupoid with one object, that's why I put the zero here, representing the same homotopy type. So the idea of the proof is to consider the following functors. We have a functor which has a note by G from Tamsonani weak to groupoid to bigroupoid. People might ask, what is a bigroupoid? Well, there's a way to formalize it. You need to ask that your home categories are in fact groupoids, and you need to ask invertibility of at the horizontal level in an appropriate way. There's a paper of Hardy, Kibum, and Van der Linde that spells it out nicely. And this functor is a functor that is essentially the restriction of a functor from Tamsonani weak to category to bicategories, which was somewhat written up in the Tamsonani's paper, but which, in fact, Steve Luck and myself investigated thoroughly recently. And then you compose this with the strictification functor, which has been talked about widely yesterday. And both of these functors are actually monoidal with respect to the Cartesian structure here and the gray tensor product here. So in particular, if you start with a monoid in here, this composition will land, give you a monoid in here. Now, an object of H3 is not hard to see that it is in particular a monoid in tau 2 with respect to the Cartesian structure. So if you apply G composed with the strictification, you find a monoid in here, which is, in fact, a gray groupoid with one object. And then you have to check that this preserves the homotopy type, but that's not too hard. So that's a possible connection between the two things. So now I'd like to proceed to general N. In order to help the intuition, how much have I got? 10. Oh, good. So in order to help the intuition, I'd like to illustrate the case n equals 3 first, which has the advantage that we can draw pictures. So I'm going to use this suggestive notation. I denote a cat 1 group with a segment, a cat 2 group with a square, and a cat 3 group with a cube. This is really a way of thinking about the motor nerve. The point of this notation is that we want to remind ourselves that a cat 2 group is an internal category in cat group in two possible ways. A cat 3 group is an internal category in cat 2 groups in three possible ways. So we take a cat 3 group G, and we fix a direction 1. So we think of G as internal category in cat 2 groups in direction 1, and we take a cofibrin replacement. Remember that we said that one of the effects of taking a cofibrin replacement is that the object becomes strongly contractible. So in this picture, a strongly contractible cat 2 group is denoted by this dashed square. Now we change direction. We take a different direction, 2, and we repeat the process. We take another cofibrin replacement. This time we view this as internal category in cat 2 groups in direction 2. So now we know for sure that this face becomes strongly contractible because it's the object of object. But the bottom face, well, nobody a priori says that it should stay strongly contractible. In fact, it does not. But what happens is that this segment, which is a cat 1 group, does remain strongly contractible. And it was strongly contractible here because strongly contractible, remember, means that we have this property of being equivalent to a discrete thing for every smaller dimensional space. So this segment here is strongly contractible, and it stays strongly contractible there. Well, the reason why this happens is quite technical. It depends on the way these cofibrin replacements are constructed. It depends on a certain pullback, and the essential ingredient is that strong contractibility behaves well with respect to those types of pullbacks. So this is what I call a special Caspi group. So if you think about direction 2, you see that the object of object is a strongly contractible Cat1 group, and the object of arrows is this face over here, is a special Cat2 group. Because special Cat2 group meant the object of object was a strongly contractible Cat1 group. Now, if you think about embedding strict three categories internal to groups in Cat3 group, one way to do it is precisely to ask that this face would be discrete and this face would be discrete. In here, these faces are not discrete, but they are strongly contractible. That's the idea that I was speaking about at the beginning. So let's see how we can use this to build the discretization functor. So we're going to take the nerve of a special Caspi group as internal category in Cat2 groups. A priori, this gives you just a simplicial object in Cat2 groups. But in fact, what happens is that it gives a simplicial object in special Cat2 groups. So here is a picture of the nerve of a special Cat2 group. What this means is that these pullbacks and all the others that Harry mentioned are in fact of the same type. They are special Cat2 groups. And this is the fundamental observation that allows you to set up the inductive procedure to squeeze these faces. Because what we're going to do, first we squeeze the first face at level 0 with the discrete multinerve, which is formally identical in its definition to the one for dimension 2. And then we use the inductive step. We had a functor D2 from special Cat2 groups to internal weak to groupoid, and we apply the functor D2 level-wise. Again, this inductive, the bar means that we apply this functor level-wise on our simplicial structure. So formally, D3 is the composition of the discrete multinerve, which was also called D2 in the previous slide, with, that's correct. I apologize. The discrete multinerve is the one for here with the functor D2 induced, where D2 is from the lower dimension. And here is a picture. Here is the nerve of G. First we discretize at level 0, which is this functor, and then we apply D2 level-wise. And you can see that the homotopy type is preserved. So in conclusion, the discretization functor is the composition of the cofibrin replacement SP, which is the composite of these two cofibrin replacements, and the functor D3. So hopefully now it becomes possible to understand what to do for higher n, for general n. We have a notion of special cutting group inductively. If we have defined special cut n monostrand groups, a special cutting group is one for which there is a direction such that when you think of that as internal category in cat n minus 1 groups, the object of object is a strongly contractible cat n minus 1 group, and the object of arrow is a special cat n minus 1 group. And then we are going to take n minus 1 cofibrin replacements in direction 1 up to n minus 1. And with some work, one can see that you land exactly in the category of special cutting groups. And this is the functor SP. Then you notice that the nerve functor on on special cutting groups actually lands not only in simplicial object in cat n minus 1 groups, but in simplicial object in special cat n minus 1 groups. And then you can set up the induction. You discretize what you have at level 0 with the discrete multinerve, and then you use the inductive step. You apply Dn minus 1 level-wise. So formally, Dn is the composition of the discretization of the discrete multinerve with this functor. And with some work, you see that this lands in the category of internal weakened groupoids, which is simplicial object in Dn minus 1, which are discrete at level 0, and the signal maps are weak equivalences. And so in the end, the discretization is the composite of SP, which is this cofiber, this special type of cofiber replacement, and the functor DN, which has squeezed these contractible spaces. So I can now state the final semi-stratification result. We take the full subcategory of tau n plus 1 consisting of the semi-strict objects, add simplicial object in tau n, exactly as in n for n equals 2, we have a point, a constant functor taking values in a one-point set at level 0, and these Segal maps are isomorphic. And then we take a functor dn v, which is induced by the nerve functor from groups to simplicial set. It's clear from the definition that dn can be embedded in n simplicial groups. Now, I should say that the proof that the image of this functor lies in hn plus 1 is not easy. It's technically complicated. For those of you who might be interested, there's a preprint on this on my homepage. I would like to say one thing. A fundamental ingredient in this proof is a fact which is quite unique to the higher groupoid case. Namely, in the Tamsamanis model, a morphism of weakened groupoid is an N equivalence if and only if it induces a weak homotopy equivalence of classifying spaces. This is not true for Tamsamani weakened categories, in which the N equivalences are in general stronger than weak homotopy equivalences. But there's an if and only if for the higher groupoid case. And that's used repeatedly to prove this. So in the end, we get, formally analogously to the case of n equals 2, a functor between the localization of cat n groups and the localization of hn plus 1, which makes this diagram compute. And using the modeling of holotropy types through the cat n groups and the Tamsamani's model, you deduce that whenever you have a Tamsamani weak n plus 1 groupoid whose classifying space is a connected n plus 1 type, you can always find a zigzag of n plus 1 equivalences connecting it to an object of hn plus 1, which is a semi-stratification result for general n. Thank you very much for your attention.
Very
yes?
Do you know the basis of
Johann? No. Well, please give me the reference afterwards. I'll be interested. Okay.
Any other questions?
I wasn't asked, but I suppose that we will. I think there will be. There's also a preprint which, in which at the beginning I've given an intuitive picture, because the actual proofs of these are technically hard. I mean, you can see that's one of the reasons I wanted to give you the definition of the Tamsamani's model. There's not much you can do. These models are pretty hard, and working with them takes quite a bit of technicalities. But in my preprint, there is a section at the beginning where I've basically given more or less an intuitive picture, a little bit as I've tried here, so it might be helpful.
I guess I have another question. Not exactly connected with this, but connected with my own obsession. So, do you know any attempt to describe homotopy three types in terms of, say, pi 1, pi 2, pi 3, and a bunch of operations satisfying equations? I mean, the closest, the easy way, take the information in a homotopy tree type and chop it down into the smallest pieces.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of models.
Most like a bunch of groups with operations on them. I mean, these models are still
is more, I don't know how to say it, more abstract than that, that it's a little harder to tell when two or three objects are equivalent. Well, it'd be really good to have a model where you could describe it using only words that, like, you learned in grad school, like group, function.
This kind of model is better than this one, and this other one is better. I mean, sort of distinguish the different
I mean, it's a very interesting question. It goes in the direction of somebody else's question yesterday, what are the applications? And my answer is I think somebody else's answer yesterday, is that's still something that is in the person being investigated. But for this, I could say, at least in my own mathematical experience, for example, the Kappen group models show up in a very natural way within cohomology. That's work which partly is in the literature, partly within my thesis, partly I think that I should really write up. It in a very easy form. Whether, as far as I can tell, but maybe I'm wrong, I mean, Tansomani's model doesn't show up as naturally in there. But on the other hand, we know that Tansomani's model shows up naturally in other areas. I mean, I'm not claiming to have to really know about it, but it has been used in odds theory, higher odds theory. So, I mean, for example, I have quite an extensive experience in the various presentations of Kappen groups, and these also are, you know, all equivalent categories. So you can ask me, what's the point of giving so many different descriptions? Well, in combinatorial group theory, some of the cross-gadgetry of Tim and Ronnie, they were the way that they showed up. So in a sense, you can say those things are more suitable to that type of application. When you want to work multi-simulationally, I mean, why did I work here with n-fold categories in groups? Because if you want to work multi-simulationally, that's what you want to need. So I think there are some areas where, in some cases, these things arose. In some other cases, you know, we hope to find applications where it's more convenient to use one language than the other. But I think, really, there's a lot of work to do in that direction. It's one of the things I'd like to achieve, find applications.
I would just like to say that what you've accomplished strikes me as a very, very impressive piece of work. If you've taken something that is visible to very, very classical algebra, something that is completely described in terms of universal algebra, and successfully completely described in terms of the weak higher categorical structure.
Yeah. And another point that I'd like to sort of point out is that these cubical structures are deceptively simple in their definition, and it takes nothing to define an n-fold category or an n-fold category in groups, right? So it's kind of mysterious. I mean, why does this cubical thing? They seem in some way, this is just vague thinking, but they seem in some way to contain the complexity of the weak structures. And why does that happen is something that, I mean, it's a kind of philosophical question that I think is interesting. Maybe Rick Jardine would have something to say about the cubical structure. But I think there's a lot of thinking about how much this cubical structure can actually contain. I think they contain a lot of interesting things. So,
the point is, it's in principle accessible to standard techniques of cohomological algebra.
Yeah.
to restructure it? Certainly not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe one aspect, good aspect